Second Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 17 verses, and I'm going to read you 17 verses. You follow with me, please. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together into Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was sent or yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what was holdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only who even now letteth delay it until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send in strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in this. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. For unto he called you by our gospel to the retaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope for grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work or every good word and work. I'd like us to bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love, allowing us that we might be able to assemble as a New Testament church. You know our thoughts, and you know what our needs are this morning. We pray, Father, that you'd be pleased to bless us as we've come together, and that you would use us for your honor, glory, and your praise. There are those here this morning that are not saved. And we pray, Father, that it might please you to open their hearts and grant them repentance and faith, that they would come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then, Father, for all of us that are saved, help us to realize the seriousness and the urgency of the hour in which we live, and help us that we might work by it today for the night coming. We know, Lord, that there are those that stand in need of your presence and power in their lives. And so, Father, we pray that you would work mightily in the lives of all of us that are saved. Now, Father, I pray that you would bless us as a church and help us that we might stand for you, that we might be good witnesses, that we might be faithful, and that we might earnestly contend for the faith which is once given the saints last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray now that you would guide us and direct us and lead us and forgive me my sin. In Christ's name I ask it all. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the subject of saved or deceived. Saved or deceived. If you'll notice with me, I'm going to use a thought from verse 3. It says this: let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the thought is, let not any man, or let no man, deceive you by any means. There is a lot of deceit that goes on today, and there's a lot of means whereby that is carried out. There are a lot of people with good intentions that are deceiving, and there are a lot of good people with good intentions that have been deceived. And I believe that one of the terrible things of our day is that of deception. The word deceit, it's used in the Hebrew and it's also used in the Greek. The Hebrew word is marma, and the Greek is dolos. It carries with it the thought of the intention of misleading or beguiling another. Sometimes the word beguile is used, which means that deceit or a person has been deceived. It is a terrible sin, the sin of deceit, or the sin of deceiving. In the Word of God, it is a companion, that is, deceit or deceiving is a companion of many other forms of wickedness. It is a companion with cursing, deceit and cursing. The psalmist tells us this, Psalm 10:7. It is also a companion of hatred. Proverbs 26:24. Deceit also is a companion of theft. It is a companion of covetousness. It is a companion of adultery. It is a companion of murder. So we see that the Scripture represents deceit many times as a companion of many other forms of wickedness. The word sometimes, and is even used in this verse, or in this passage of Scripture, again, in verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. It carries with it the same thought or the same idea, and it really just means to deceive or to lead astray. And there are those that are led astray. The question sometimes asked, is this really the truth, or am I being deceived? Now, how many times do we have to ask ourselves that? How many times is that question asked? Now, the word is used both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and sometimes the word is used meaning a deliberate misleading in things that are moral and also in things that are spiritual. A deliberate misleading or a deliberate beguiling are a deliberate deceiving. Now, I want to show you some of these verses, that how that it's used sometimes in the Old Testament and sometimes in the New Testament. Go back to the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, and I want you to look with me at Jeremiah chapter 29. And in this chapter, I want you to notice with me here verse 8 in verse 9. Now, this is Jeremiah 29, verse 8 and verse 9. Now, look at this. What I want us to understand is there's always been deceivers. From the time of the Garden of Eden to the present day, there's always been deceivers. The problem today is telling the difference between a person that is deceiving or using deceit and a person that is telling the truth. or that is leading or guiding you in the right way. Because even the deceiver will declare himself to be right. Now look at this. Jeremiah 29:8-9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you, now notice, in my name. Now that's why it's hard to tell them. Because they come in God's name, and they come in the name of the Lord. Now notice, but the Lord said, I have not sent thee, saith the Lord. Now that's why there's so many people today that are deceived and are being deceived. It's because they're being deceived by false prophets. And they're being deceived by people that come in the name of the Lord. And they even say that the Lord hath sent them. And so people are confused. Now, there's another place. Now let's go to the New Testament and notice two places. There's more than one in the Old Testament, but go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Now we're talking about a deliberate misleading in moral, in that which is moral, or that which is spiritual. Now he talks about, then he gives a description of these in Ephesians 5, but especially in verse 6, he's talking about false teachers. Now look at this. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And you go back and look at what he said previously in this fifth chapter. So Paul warned, even as God warned Jeremiah, and Jeremiah warned the people, that there are people that will come in the name of the Lord, they'll use the name of the Lord to their advantage, and they have one purpose in mind, and they have one commission, and that is to deceive people. Well, the greatest deceiver of them all is Satan. And behind all deception is Satan. He's behind every bit of it. Now, sometimes we may, I think, as true churches and as true men of God, sometimes we may get our wires crossed and maybe say some things that we ought not to say, but when it's called our attention, then we correct it. But the deceiver never corrects the deception that has been placed out. Now, Revelation chapter 12, and there in verse 9, he gets right down to the one who's behind all of this deception, or where people are being deceived. He says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan. Now look at this. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now how he deceives the whole world, he has a way, and he has the means, and he has people that he uses to deceive other people. And the thing of it is, many times, the person that's doing the deceiving is deceived. And therefore, they'll argue with you right down to the wire that they're right. And they can't see they're wrong. The reason they can't say they're wrong is because they're deceived. And then the person then that is being deceived, but who's behind it all? The devil. Satan's behind. He's the mastermind of the whole plan of deceit and deception. Now, I believe that we ought to be careful, and even as saved people, that we don't deceive ourselves. Now we're talking mainly about people that are not saved being deceived, but the Bible talks about that we ought not to deceive ourselves. And he's talking about it in the context of... Now you say, well, how can I deceive myself? One way is by trusting the wisdom of the Word. Going to the world rather than going to God. I preached on that last Sunday. Such time. I preached at Brother Richardson's yesterday that same message. I preached the New and the Living Way there yesterday. And I said the thing that burdens my heart and causes me grief is when God's people go to the world rather than going to God. And when you do, you're deceiving yourself. Because the world can't help you. Now, Paul talks about this. I want us to notice these three verses that I've got, and then we're going to talk some more about this other. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and listen to how Paul warned them in this about deceiving yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 down through verse 21. Now look at this. And he's talking to the church of Corinth, say to him, and said, let no man deceive himself. And he's talking to people who are safe. He said, if any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Now, sometimes how we deceive ourselves is by trusting the wisdom of the world and leaning by our own understanding rather than asking of God's wisdom. Look at this. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man. And when we do, we deceive ourselves. For all things are yours. And he goes on and talks about whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, or things present, things come, are all yours, and you're Christ and Christ is God. But the thing of it is it's easy for us to sit around and talk about Satan. Now we know people that the devil's got disease. When we may just be much almost, not to the degree, but deceived in another way. We deceive ourselves by trusting the world rather than trusting God. Well, I think another way you save and see themselves is by saying you don't have any sin. Isn't that what the Bible says? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Now listen to what the writer says in this. And he says, if we say that we have no sin, now what are you going to say? He says, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Such a deception, but I believe there's another way that we can deceive ourselves, and that is by being hearers of the word only. Listen to James chapter 1. What do we say? James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own faith. So I believe that we ought to say you've recognized this deceit and deception, how the strong that it is today. Now, as we've seen these verses that I've given, there's a great truth. And here's a great truth that we need to come to grips with. The great truth is the Lord saves and Satan deceives. And that's the truth that we need to come to grips with. He started off by beguiling Eve in the Garden of Eden. He deceived Eve. He misled Eve. He didn't tell Eve the truth. He took the truth and twisted it around.
Now, he has some ways and means to deceive people today concerning salvation. He uses feelings as the basis of salvation. He makes people think that feelings is salvation. Yeah, you have feelings when you aren't saved. Well, certainly you do. Why, some of the greatest feelings you'll ever have is when God saves you by His marvelous grace. But feelings is not the basis of your salvation. And He can make you feel comfortable and not even be saved. The devil can do that. Some people you talk to, and I heard some preach somebody here say, to talk to somebody and they say, well, are you saved? Well, said, I'm comfortable. There's a lot of difference between being comfortable and saved. You can be comfortable in your sin. Until somebody gets after you, or somebody rebukes you, or somebody reproves you, he may give you a feeling which may satisfy your understanding, but it would be a false feeling. What we have to remember about the devil is he is a counterfeiter. And this is hard for unsaved people to come to grips with what I'm saying, and it's hard for some saved people to even acknowledge it. I meet saved people that won't even acknowledge it. Did you know the devil has a gospel? He has a gospel. Well, I reckon so. Listen to Galatians chapter 1. And he even tried to use it to deceive people during the days of the Apostle Paul. And look in Galatians 1, 6 and 7. And this is Paul writing to the churches of Galatia. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you. Now notice, into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Who are they? They're deceivers. And they are preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel. And Paul says that. Now think about it. Not every gospel that you hear is the gospel. Now remember, the devil has a gospel. Keep that in mind. We're talking about whether you're saved or deceived. And there are people that are saved, and those that are saved have heard the gospel. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are people that are saved, and they've heard the death. I mean, that are deceived, and they've heard Satan's gospel. It's a deceptive gospel, and it don't bring a salvation. He has his preachers, too. You mean, tell me, that there are people today that are preaching that are of the devil? I mean to tell you that. And the reason I'm going to tell you that is because the Word of God says it. It's not something that I've imagined, but it's because we find it in the Word of God. You ought not to just trust a preacher because he's a preacher. Because the devil has his preachers and he has his ministers. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and look with me. Look at this now. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through verse 15. Now look at this. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He said, for such are false apostles. He's talking about what he said previously. Notice he said about them, they're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now they're not apostles of Christ, but they say they are apostles of Christ. But now look at this, verse 14. And no marvel, y'all not be surprised about this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now look at this, verse 15. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers. Amen. Now that means preachers. That means men that stand in pulpits across this land. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They say they're of God. They hold the Word of God in their hands, but they're ministers of Satan. And their purpose is to take this Word of God and to deceive people. To not preach it in its truth, but to take parts of it and to make doctrines. Doctrines of men and doctrines of devil. That people might be deceived. And he said in this, whose end shall be according to their works. He has his churches. People don't like to think about this, but the Lord's churches belong to the Lord. They were started by the Lord, and He's the head of them. And any that is not in that position are not the Lord's churches. Now, there's only one way to tell. You say, well, how in the world can you tell? This alarms me. Well, I'm thankful it does. We need to be alarmed. Baptists ought to be alarmed. The last 20, 30, 50 years, Baptists have gone off. And they let deceivers come in among them and to lead them away from the truth of God's Word. Now, how do we tell? Go with me in 1 John chapter 4. Now turn to these scriptures and look at these. Now I'm hoping you're marking these and keeping all this in mind. Somebody said, and I want to make this comment before I read this first. Somebody said, well, now what I'm doing, you may not agree with what I'm doing, but said I'm led of the Spirit. Well, I believe that. But what we've got to remember is there's spirits other than the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit never leads anybody to do anything contrary to the Word of God. But the other spirits always lead contrary to the Word of God. And when people are out of their place and doing things contrary to the Word of God, and they tell me they're led by Spirit, I know it's not the Holy Spirit that's leading. And I know they're not being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now, then anybody say, my, that's hard. That's the way it is. I mean, that's just how simple it is and the way it is. And we ought to, of all people, we ought to be the first ones to want to only be led by the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. We're the ones that ought to never do anything contrary to the Word of God and lay it on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit don't lead you contrary to the Word of God. And it's anything that you do or I do in our life. We come up with our little flimsy excuses to do things. They don't carry no weight with God. They might carry weight with me, they might carry weight with the other brethren, just for sure, but they don't carry any weight with God. Now, how do we tell? Now, let's look at this right quickly. It's John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, just in the context of what I've been preaching and teaching, John said, resist, because many false prophets are going out into the world, and they're deceivers, and Satan is behind them, and they are led by a spirit, but it is not the Holy Spirit. And people are afraid to say that. And it's the plain Word of God. And we ought not to be afraid to say that. Look, hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now look, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist. And some of the spirits of the Antichrist will even talk about God. And they'll talk about Jesus Christ. And they're so hard to nail down, I might say. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, he goes on in this and says, in this portion of Scripture, ye of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. That's the Holy Spirit that indwells you. Will take you to the Word of God. And you will find the answer to whether or not a person is a deceiver is whether or not it is according to the Word of God. Have they taken the Word of God and twisted the Scriptures? Have they made themselves a doctrine? Have they taken it out of context? Do they just use one Scripture out of the whole Bible as a basis for their, or three Scriptures? It don't work that way. The Holy Spirit, the Bible is all continuity and is all, it never contradicts. And it's always the Holy, by the divine Holy Spirit, the truth that goes all the way through. Now look, they are of the world. Now here's a good way to tell them. Now here's a good one. They are the world, therefore they speak of the world. And that's the main thing that they speak of. That's the main emphasis, and the world hears them, or the world likes what they say, and the world joins up with them. This is the way you can tell them. But we're of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us, hereby know we. Now look. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is a spirit of truth. But you all got to understand, there's also a spirit of error. And you may be coming into contact with it daily. But nobody, seems like everybody in the money, don't want to acknowledge there's a spirit of error. They want to say, everybody's right. Don't tell me. Don't come with that stuff with me. Because the Bible says differently. The Word of God says differently. And when you do that, you're deceiving yourself. You're being deceived. You might as well face the truth about things. You know why a lot of people don't talk to me about their problems? They know what I'm going to tell them. I ain't going to sympathize with them. And I'm going to tell them the truth. If they're wrong, they're wrong. If they're right, they're wrong. Now, I'm accountable for that. So we see, and what I really am getting the heart of here, and I won't do this right quickly. I'm just got an introduction there. What I want to do, so you've got more time to sleep if you want to. What I want to do now is talk about saved or deceived. Now I believe, and I don't know who's saved here this morning. I don't know who's deceived. I don't have any idea. But I would say, in a congregation of this size, there are some people here who profess to be saved that have been deceived. Now, I don't know who you are. Only God knows that. Now, some way that Satan deceives is starting off with conviction. Now, I know that the Bible talks about, and I know that when God begins to bring salvation or work upon a person, he begins to convict that person. He brings conviction to that person where they are convicted about some things. Now, but sometimes this thing is turned around and all people see is their conduct. Now let me explain it. There can be a lack of conviction, or there can be the wrong kind of conviction. Because the devil will tell you, and even some people will tell you, who's working for the devil, just change your conduct. Just change what you're doing, and you'll be all right. No such thing. You won't. They'll say, now, quit your lying, quit your cheating, quit your cursing, and quit your adultery. Now, all of these things are wrong, but when the world is caught in these, they have regret, not conviction. My mom and daddy taught me not to laugh. Before I ever heard a sermon. They taught me not to cheat, and they taught me not to curse, and they taught me about sex, you know, the things that's right and the things that's wrong. Now, many religionists of our day that do Satan's work for him, they say to the unsaved, here's what they say to the unsaved person. You ought to quit the above sins. Now that's their idea of what salvation begins with. That's not how it begins. Now these sins are wrong. And the Bible teaches it's wrong. My mom and daddy taught me that they were wrong. But look, what this does, this causes the unsaved to get the wrong idea. You know what wrong idea they get? They get the wrong idea about how a person is saved. And they get the wrong idea about how you remain saved. Now think with me. If you can be saved by just quitting some sins, then you can be unsaved by doing them again. Now the devil causes people to get on that thing because he don't want them to be saved to begin with. Now most people in the main today that don't really know the Lord and for know the truth of God's Word believe that you are saved by just quit doing some things, and if you start doing it again, you lose. And that's what the majority of people believe. That's what the majority of the religious believe. But that's not the way it is. And that's what the devil wants everybody to believe, and almost everybody believes. Almost not everybody. So many religions of our day, how much they're aware of this, I don't know, are doing Satan's work for them. Paul preached to the saved to refrain from these things. He never preached a message like this to anybody to become saved. He always preached about these sins to those that were saved by the grace of God. Because they had a God-given grace to not continue in these, therefore a new lifestyle. The saved is the only ones that can overcome these things. And the unsaved cannot. They don't have the ability. They don't have the power. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There's a possibility today that in true Baptist churches, the reason pastors spend so much time working with people trying to keep them in line is because they're deceived and not saved. There's that possibility. Now look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look, be not deceived. Now look, ain't going to name about these things. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves and mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunks, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then what's he say in verse 11? And such, and I underline, were. Some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And here's what he's saying. And I believe that Paul is bringing out this thought here. And I'm going to read verse. That's all I'm going to read. The devil would have you to believe that all you have to do to be saved is to quit these sins. And then it's so confusing, and you'd have you to believe that if you commit one of these sins, then you've lost what you're supposed to have, if you didn't really have it again. Is that confusing? That's how confused the devil makes it. That's how confused people are. Now what happened here is, he's talking about lifestyles. He's talking about lifestyles. When the Lord saves people, their lifestyle changes. He's talking about people that live a way of life. Now, here's the thing that might happen to a person. A person that's been saved by the grace of God will no longer keep the lifestyle of adultery. Now, they may, in their mind and in their heart, commit adultery. But if they do, the Holy Spirit will convict them, and they'll ask the Lord to forgive them, and they'll make that right. They won't go on in that lifestyle. Because they've been saved from that kind of a lifestyle. And if they do, then they ask God to forgive them of that sin. And He forgives them. They don't lose anything. They restored that fellowship back. 1 John 1:8-9. We say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the devil don't like to hear that. He don't like you to know that because he wants you to be deceived. Well, Romans 8. Look with me. Romans 8:8-14. He talks about the carnal mind is enmity of God, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now look what he sees. Verse 9. Now we have the flesh. But the flesh may interfere and may cause us all kinds of trouble, but the flesh does not get the victory. Now look. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, what we have to understand is, he that is in you is greater than he's in the world. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also so quicken your mortal bodies. Now look. By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I mean right now. We say right now. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For ye shall live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the mighty, ye shall live. And if notice, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the devil today has got this thing all turned around for people. Now the condition under this conviction, Satan wants you to be blind concerning your condition. You're not saved. He does not want you to know that you're dead in trespass and sin. He wants you to believe that you don't have to do anything any different. And you don't have to recognize your condition. I started to say, he wants you to think that you're as good as anybody else. As far as the flesh, you are. As far as being sinner. But he wants you to keep on thinking that and not recognize your condition. Romans 3:10 and 3:23 and Romans 6:23. Now, a person sees what they are rather than what they're doing wrong. And that's what the Lord calls you to do. He calls you to see what you are rather than what you're doing wrong. When God enables a person to see these verses, they come to see their lost condition, and no one is ever saved without seeing their condition, and only the Holy Spirit enables a person to see their condition. But then there's repentance. Satan is more interested in reformation than repentance. And the world, this is the world's idea, you know, every year, turning over a new leaf or things, you know, New Year's resolution is sort of like, I'm going to quit doing this or I'm going to do that. And that, many times, is what Satan is interested in people doing, reforming, rather than repenting. But now what we have to understand is that the doctrine of repentance is a possible doctrine, and God is the author of repentance, and it springs from God's love and goodness. Look back in Romans 2. Get this right quick. Romans 2, verse 4. For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And it begins with godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, where that's found. And listen to this. As sorrowful, I'm the 6th chapter, go to the 7th chapter. Back up, verse 8. So though I make you sorrow with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorrow, though it were but for a season. But now I rejoice not that you were made sorrow, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorrow after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. The sorrow of this world worketh death. That is, you're sorry you got caught. The sorrow of the world. But that ain't godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is agreeing that God's right. Godly sorrow makes one take God's side against themselves and submit your case to the mercy of God. It's what godly sorrow is.